So let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask that you will present the message in a way that each one of us will hear it plainly, that also that you, dear Holy Spirit, will speak to our hearts about the things that you want us each personally to receive from you. And I pray each one of us will leave here today knowing that you've spoken to us, that you've touched our hearts, that you've warmed our hearts for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. In the last few weeks, we've been looking at the greatness of our God. Isn't God great? I mean, it's easy for us to, but we can think about what God has done just biblically, but also in our own lives, and we can say that God is great. We also looked at Psalm 46 and Isaiah 40, and that we were reminded that God is in control and sovereign over all the nations, all nations. And so we can find rest and assurance in that. We also know that he created everything. We also know that we can depend on him, even in spite of what's going on around the world and the rage that we see in the nations. We can also know that when mountains can be tossed into the sea, that we can relate to that by seeing the biggest mountain in our life, the biggest difficulty in our life, and knowing God can take that mountain and cast it in the sea to get it out of our way. He can make it an even plain, and it will not be an obstacle in our lives anymore. And I know that some of you are going through some tremendous obstacles in your lives right now. But God is with you, God is able, and God will get you through that obstacle. Okay, so hold on to that. We're reminded that we are to run to him and take refuge in him. We learned that in Psalm 46 and Isaiah 40. We are to be still and we're to know him in order to see what God is doing in and through our lives. We're reminded that he will provide us his strength when we actively wait on him. Amen? Actively wait on God, and God will show you his strength. We were also reminded that he will help us to soar over our problems, like those thermal lifts that eagles find and fly on in the air. We can find those thermal lifts spiritually in our life where we know where to go, where God will pick us up and carry us over our problems. So today, I want to remind us of some additional things. And the one thing you've already noted is that nothing is impossible for God to do. You need to hold on to that and know that nothing is impossible for God. I mean, he created us, created earth, and we believe that when we die, we go to heaven as believers in Christ, right? We have that assurance. And one day, as believers in Christ, we will see the promise of heaven and eternity in which we are citizens of today. Many of us think that Russia is mighty powerful and nothing can stop them from destroying Ukraine or us or at the push of a button. You know, we can think about the threat that is there. When the Ukrainian war began between them and the Russians, my mind went to how large Russia is and how massive they are and how their military is it's got to be much, much stronger than Ukraine. But I would never have expected for Russian military forces to break down so fast. And I wouldn't have expected for a small country to have shown such resistance and gained some ground and victory in their determination to fight for their country. And yet God is working through that on both sides. And I know God is working in the hearts of Russian soldiers and population, as well as in the Ukrainians. That God is working to reveal himself. And I pray that there will be many that will come to know Jesus as their Savior. Many of us would think that our broken marriage relationship or our broken family relationships are too far gone. But nothing's impossible for God. God can heal them. Many of us who have experienced infertility or know someone who has would think that nothing could bring about that longed-for baby to love. Have we known people that have wanted a baby so badly and thought they could never have one? And you hurt for them. You hurt for them. Many of us would think our financial problems are too severe, that nothing will rescue us from the debt or financial need. Many of us who have serious illness or know someone who has would think after the doctor's horrible prognosis that nothing will heal them. Maybe you are facing something totally different in your life that seems impossible to overcome or to conquer. We have to remember nothing is impossible for God. It's our job to release those burdens to God and trust God to answer his way with his wisdom and love. Do you know what I mean by release? I mean let go of. We can't harbor them. We can't hold on to them so tightly that they consume us. We have to release those burdens to God and trust that God will take care of them his way with his wisdom and in his love and power. So this morning I want to look at a few additional passages of scripture to show how nothing is impossible with God. In Genesis 18, 9 through 15, it says, "Then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' So he said, 'Here in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?' And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "I shall surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I didn't laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" Now, I kind of, if I was in Sarah's position, I probably would have caught myself off guard laughing. Think of you that are, you know, past 80, closer to 90, and you and your spouse are together, and God says, "You're going to have a baby." That would kind of be laughable. And yet God was promising something that was impossible to Sarah, right? And to Abraham. Abraham and Sarah having a baby was obviously indefinitely impossible, but not with God, because why? God creates all life. I'm going to pick on Bobby and Glenn because I know that you would like to have another baby or two. And nothing's impossible with God. Okay? So we put it in perspective for all of us, right? Yeah, ask him, he might do it for you. But that's, see, we're laughing. And that's why I don't blame Sarah for her laughter. You know, she's thinking about the reality of that. And of course, God reminded Sarah in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Nothing's too hard for the Lord, even the things that we think are crazy. If God says it, God will do it. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years to see God's answer and their impossible need. That's a long time to wait for God to stay true to his word. Sometimes we have to remember that when God has told us something, that we can hold on to that and know that we can take it to the bank, so to speak, but we don't have to cash in on it that week. God's going to allow us to experience his promise when it's his time. In Genesis 21, 1 through 3, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." So we need to remember that God will answer or meet our need in his perfect timing and his perfect ways. We're not willing to sometimes be patient on God. We're not willing to, in that lack of patience, to look to God and say, "God, I know that your ways are perfect." In fact, we might start slipping into the mode of criticizing God for messing up, not answering the need, or not doing it the way we expect, but that's the problem. We rationalize in our own thinking, in our own minds, the way promises will be carried out. And it's in my life, I don't think God has ever done anything the way I expected him to do it unless he told me he was going to do it that way. And so we can praise God for that. In Psalm 18:30, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." I love the fact that God is your shield and my shield. That we don't have to face the future and all the challenges or mountains or whatever's in our way, feeling alone or feeling like we're operating in our own strength. Because the reality is, we have God's strength to carry us and to protect us through that. In Galatians 4:4 it says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. In the fullness of time, in other words, when the time was perfect, God sent his son to bring salvation to mankind. Remember, before the foundations of the world, Jesus agreed with the Father that he would go and be that sacrifice for all mankind. It was already predetermined that Jesus would die on the cross for our sins, would be buried and raised in the grave on the third day, and provide a way of salvation to all who put their faith in him. That was already predetermined before the world was even begun to be created. But Jesus had to wait for God, the Father, to tell him, now, I'm sending you. And it was a long time after that time that they agreed on that. So his son, he sent his son to bring salvation to mankind. And this event was another example of God teaching us that nothing is impossible with him. Think about it. God becoming incarnate, God becoming flesh, God becoming man so that we can see the image of God, right? That we might understand God more fully. And so that God can say, hey, I'm not distanced from you. I am human. That's what Jesus is. He's 100% God and 100% man. And he is human. So he understands all of our human frailties and weaknesses, pain and suffering, everything. But God sent his son through what? The impossibility of a virgin birth. I mean, Sarah got a baby at, I think she was 99 or 90, and Abraham was 99, right? And so God did that miracle. God did the miracle through Mary, through a virgin birth. In Luke 1:34, verse 34 through 37, it says, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Another impossible thing, and they're all throughout the scriptures, that God has done. But I want us to look at Mary's response to God's solution to sending his son through his impossible plan, or seemingly impossible plan. In Luke 1:38, then Mary said, behold the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Notice Mary didn't laugh. She didn't chuckle. I mean, Sarah laughed because of the reality of her age and because she was afraid, right? But, I mean, yeah, we won't go there. But Mary, being probably about 15, roughly, just simply said, whatever your will is, Lord, and I'll trust you. I trust you to do this impossible thing that you're telling me that you're going to do. And so, again, Mary had said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, I'm yours, is what she's saying. Let it be to me according to your word. What you've told me you want to do, I want it to be. And the angel departed from her. That was Gabriel. So, like Mary, we need to accept whatever God may tell us and trust him to fulfill it. We might have a mountain in front of us, and God may speak to our heart about it, and he might say, I'm going to take care of that. Don't you worry about it. We're going to trust you. That's what God wants us to do. Do you remember Moses at the burning bush? That classic picture, right? Moses is given an impossible task to do, to free Israel. Previously, he fled Egypt, right? He fled Egypt because his life was being threatened. And now Moses is what? He's how old? 80. If you're close to 80 and God says, I'm calling you to go, I'm not looking at anybody. Okay, don't, if I look at you, it's just because I'm making eye contact. Okay? But if you're close to 80, before or after, can you imagine God saying to you, get up, go back to Egypt and get my people out of there. Right? I'm 64 years old. I don't know. If God had said something like that to me, I might say, I'm old. Get someone younger, you know? But if God is saying it, God can do it. See, God never tells us to do anything that he doesn't empower us to do. I keep sharing that with you. God always has given us the grace to face whatever challenge is in front of us, and has always given us what we need to be faithful to him. So, in spite of me being 64, let's read a few more verses. In Exodus 3:11 through 14, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent you. There's some significance to that. God is I am. And the I am is the ultimate statement of self-sufficiency, self-existence, and immediate presence. Think about that. God is fully and completely self-sufficient. He is self-existent. Nobody created him. And he is immediately present all the time. God is with you, near us, and in our heart as believers. He is with you and near you as non-believers as well, but not in your heart if you haven't received him. God is right now. So God was right there with Moses, providing everything he needed for that impossible task of leading Israel out of Egypt. Moses didn't have anything to do with it except to be faithful and to obey God's will. That's what God expects of us. Be faithful to me and obey me. Let me do the work. And what happens when we begin to see God do the work, and when we're faithful and obedient to him, we're watching God. Okay, God, I hear you. Okay, God, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be obedient to what you want. Now I'm going to watch you. And as you do, you'll begin to see God fulfill his promise to you. God supplied the power, the miracles, the resources. God did the impossible. In the last few weeks and today, our passages have reminded us to remember who God is. God is the I am, right? And what he's done. I want to count our blessings and remember what God has done for us. You know, when you're down, when you're feeling frustrated or you're down or lonely or whatever, count your blessings. I've shared this, but years ago when I was in my teenage years working at a grocery store, I was going through some stuff that just really got me down. And a Christian woman, Christian sister in Christ, older than me, she said, Terry, when's your break? And she said, okay. I told her, and she said, okay, I'm going to take my break the same time. We went outside, sat on the bench in front of the grocery store, and she began to talk to me, and she said, I want you to count your blessings. Well, you know, when you're down and frustrated, you don't want to. I like wallowing in my pain. It just feels good to me because I feel like I deserve it. I mean, really, let's be honest about it. But if we will take the time to thank God, she goes, just name 10 things you're thankful for. She even primed the pump. Okay, you're thankful for what? Are you thankful for the car that God gave you? Yeah, I was. Add 9 more. So I added 9 more. You feel any better yet? Add 10 more. And so we started going through and we're counting the blessings like we were singing the song. It's not just a clever tune. It's a practical application to our life. When we find ourselves getting into the dumps, start praising God. Start thanking him. If anything, in the midst of it, say, God, I know that you are sovereign. You are in control. And you are always working on my behalf to do good. You are holy and you love me. Your love for me cannot be measured by any means. And your holiness is absolutely perfect. And your love for me and that holiness is working in my life through this situation for good. And even though I can't see it, even though I'm not experiencing the wonder of what you're doing, I trust you because I love you too. And so we need to do that. We need to trust God in the middle of all of it. We're to count our blessings and remember what God has done for us. Giving thanks in the middle of what we're facing may seem like an impossible task, maybe something that emotionally we just don't want to do, but if we do it, it can change our perspective and it can encourage us. We get that paradigm shift out of the dumps into the highway of the joy in our relationship with God. And that's what God wants us to do. So, who in here is willing to share a testimony of maybe something that God has done that for you that you thought was impossible? I went around to a couple of the Sunday school classes to ask, but I'm gonna give you the opportunity. Juan said he had had one, so.
My testimony is, when I was younger, I never thought I was gonna give myself to the Lord, and look at me now.
You know, hang on a second. Can everybody hear? Be a little louder for me.
When I was younger, I never thought, you know, I was gonna give myself to the Lord. You know, to look at me now. You know, like I was too into the gangs. I was too into, how can I say, like, I'm not part of it, but I was too into selling drugs, getting the money, doing all that. And now, thanks to my grandma, I give myself to the Lord.
So you see the impossible hand of God working in your life, or work. You see God's hand working through the impossible things in your life. You were once part of a gang, or gangs, and you didn't see the hope. But God, yeah, and God has saved you and given you new hope in Him.
Pam? A few years ago, I was seeing a specialist in Fresno, and he said that I had bone cancer. And then they sent me to an oncologist in Fresno, and she said I had bone cancer. And then they were doing more tests, and they finally went in and did surgery and all this, and come to find out it had nothing to do with cancer. Even though two professionals who are very well known in the United States told me I had, it was nothing. I mean, it's something I have to live with, but it's nothing compared to what they had told me.
Right. Right.
And so God just took what people around me said and reversed it completely.
Well, it may have been that you did and God made it so that you didn't. Who knows?
Whatever.
That's right. That's right. That's a God thing. Anybody else? A testimony of what God has done in your life that seems to be an impossibility, but yet you saw God do it? Susan.
My daughter had belly fever and it was 98%. She was going to die. And God saved her.
She's
in the hospital.
Yeah. Change all of our lives and make our perspective.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, when you're told that you have a 98% chance of living, not living, and then you live and you're living a normal life again, for the most part, right? That's a miracle. It's a miracle. Anyone else? A possibility that became, you know, something that was impossible that God did for you? No? I want to thank you for sharing that. Sure, you can say another one.
About me being shy, look at the plate. I never thought he was going to help me out to get strength and go up there and talk in front of all those people.
Oh, you're talking about the living nativity. Yeah, right. He stretched you, didn't he? Yeah. You're not getting me up there. No, you're not. We talked you into getting up there, right, and being on that platform. Yeah. And it was a blessing, wasn't it? That's right. That's right. Tammy.
I broke cervical 1, 2, and 3 in my neck, and I shouldn't be able to walk or do anything.
Wow. Well, praise God for that. Praise God. Yeah. When you're told that you can't walk and you see yourself that you can. Yeah. I remember at the hospital when I was going to have my spinal canal enlarged. And then, of course, have the fusion as well. My doctor told me, he said, you may not walk. Because I wasn't walking when I went in. and had gotten so bad. He said, and he just flat out told me, he said, when this is over, you still may not be able to walk. So I remember after the surgery with my walker walking out of my room, and I'm walking toward Tim Conway style, walking, those of us that are older, you know, toward the nurse's station. I was just grinning, thanking the Lord for what he had done. So, amen, amen. So it's good to give testimony to what God has done. It's good to honor him and be thankful, but it's those are called life markers. Those are things that we can look back in our life and go, I saw God do this. I saw God redirect me. I saw God's hand in this situation. And by looking back at those life markers, it gives us strength and courage to embrace the now and the future. And so be thankful for those markers. When we have those difficult times, that's why Scripture says that we're to rejoice in tribulation, and nobody likes the thought of rejoicing in tribulation because we don't want the tribulation, and that seems like an impossible thing. But when we start learning that through the tribulation and when trusting God, obeying him, being faithful to him through the tribulation, we will see God's hand work that develops those markers in our lives that reveals who he is and builds our faith in him. And we can praise God for that. Praise God for that. Thank you for sharing those testimonies. Appreciate it a lot. So is there something that God did that was impossible for you? Okay. Remember, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Amen? Okay, let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for the testimonies that we shared. The opportunities, Father, to just honor you and to give you glory. You deserve all you deserve all the honor. You deserve all glory. You deserve all praise. And I know that when we're in heaven one day, Father, that when we see you clearly, not as we see you now in a dimmed mirror, but when we see you clearly, when we see things clearly, and how you've worked in our lives and what you have done and what you have blessed us with, that we will not be able to stop praising you. And I know, Father, even this side of heaven, even in the midst of trial, there are times, Father, when you have placed in my heart, and I'm sure on other people's hearts, that for no reason at all, you start stirring our heart to hum a song. And Father, I say this as a witness that there have been times when the song was coming up in my heart, and I've literally said, I don't want to sing that song. But the song wouldn't go away, and that was you, dear Holy Spirit, to say, no, I'm going to keep here singing this song, and you're going to hear it, and you're going to grab hold of it, and you're going to praise me. And in that, Father, I know that I was lifted up. And I know that when we worship you and praise you and give you thanks, even in the darkest hour, we can find comfort in you and hope even more. And Father, just pray that if there's someone that has not received Christ as their Savior, I'm pretty sure that everybody in this room is saved, Father, but those that will listen to this message or watch it later may not be. I pray, Father, please, that they would make a decision to say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I am a sinner. Please forgive me for these sins that I'm aware of. Confess them, repent of them. And then ask Jesus to come and to live in your heart and to be your Savior and your Lord. And he will. Believing that he died on the cross for your sins, took that payment for you, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, and he's alive today, you can know also that he's alive in your heart forever, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we praise you for that. We ask, Father, that you're blessed as we have a hymn of invitation. If anybody has a prayer need or concern, and they'd like to meet me up front to pray with them, please encourage them to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.